time of the day and that time of the week, Fletch, where we like to have a chat to a sports star of small business. So let's get to work. Officeworks, helping you make big things happen, bigger things happen. And the man on the line now, well, let's play this song first. Well, here he is, Fletch, your representative, the alias of William Less.
William Less, the great Billy Moore. Billy, welcome. How are you?
Hello, boys. How are we?
Outstanding. Terrific. Outstanding. Billy, now we'll get to the business side of things. So what we have this segment, thanks to Officeworks, is we ask around and we say, who are some of the sporting stars who have, you know, really taking their efforts on field and their standards on field to make success off field in their business? And your name had been mentioned many, many times. We'll get to your business in a moment. What have you made of the footy so far, William Less?
Well, I'm glad that my business representative is not William Less. I'm sure Flash will attest to that. But look, it's been interesting. Forget about the other trials last weekend. They were the key ones. And that's when we saw some form lines, and there were some interesting things, wasn't there? I thought the Raiders-Roosters trial was probably the pick of the games. The Power Panthers wasn't far behind it. How good was South? Mm. How bad were the Saints? Titans showed a bit. Concern for me, though, close to home, the alarm bells, the Broncos.
Mm.
For some reason, someone's out there sugarcoating them. They were terrible, and what I saw when they got towed up by the Cowboys in the second half was very reminiscent of 2020. They've got critical problems in their defensive line. And you saw it again after two tries, the head drops. Kevy will definitely improve them, but the bar is incredibly low and they're going to be in a tough battle to be better than top 12, I reckon.
We are chatting with Billy Moore. And Billy, a great friend of the program, reading the play, Jared Condon. He has done ratings for years and years and years on teams and how he thinks they'll fare. He's got the Broncos. Now, I actually disagree with this, but I do respect his opinion. He's got the Broncos as the lowest rated side on his ratings in 10 years. That's 160 different squads. What do you think about that? I personally don't think they'll get the wooden spoon. How do you see it playing out?
I don't think they'll get the wooden spoon, but they're going to get close. This is the reason why. Defensively, in that last year, they were the worst defensive team by 20%.
Wow.
You know, and that's saying something because there was some pretty ordinary defensive side. So they capitulated 40 points or more on multiple occasions. And you guys know, when you concede 40 points one weekend, the next weekend you're embarrassed.
Mm.
You don't let it happen again. And that's happened on multiple occasions. The other thing is, though, I can't see, boys, where the points are going to come from. How are they going to score them? I know they racked up a few points against the Cowboys, but two of those tries were some very bad defensive reads by the boys from North Queensland. That won't happen against the better sides. They won't get that sort of latitude. I just can't see in that spine enough big game experience to lead them around. So I'm concerned about their defence, but equally concerned, I can't see where they're going to score more than 20, 25 points a game.
Hey, Billy, if you're a young kid, you're a young Queensland kid, in the old days it was all about wanting to play for the Broncos, I'd imagine. They've lost the likes of, like, Sam Walker is obviously a gun Queensland kid. Have they lost a little bit of their lustre up there? Is it not the glamour club as we used to, well, what we've been used to?
Mate, you're breaking up a bit there. But look, I think without a doubt, they've lost that aura. When you go back to the time when we were playing, back when Jesus was a boy in the 90s, Brisbane had an aura about it, and they continued on into the early noughts. They don't have that anymore. You know, when you think about, when I say aura, you know, like the West Indian cricket team, you know, or the Australian side when you had McGrath and Warne and Gilchrist and co.
Mm.
And they had an aura about them, and it was worth something, a few points. You know, for them, with a few wickets. For me, the Broncos in front of 45,000 at the old Lang Park, you know, and then came Suncorp, that was worth two tries. And I just don't see that anymore. And we'll actually see how this translates into corporate sales and I suppose the ticketing, how we see the turnstiles click in 2021, because the Bronx have never been so low. I'm interested to see how the brethren up here in Queensland, they're not used to the Broncos getting beat and getting beaten convincingly. So I hope for Kevy's sake and the Broncos that they're able to show something that I haven't seen. And I know obviously it's early days in 2021, but I was concerned of what I saw on Saturday night against the Cowboys.
Over the weekend, we saw there's a story break that Johnny Cartwright and Chris Johns got in a bit of argy bargy. Billy, who would win that if it went, if it got fair dinkum? I would think Cardi.
Yeah.
Well, it'll have some definite influence, without a doubt. Look, Kevy has never been a first grade coach, I suppose. So I mean, to see how he works it over the course of a year. Mm. He did actually have the reins over the Catalan Dragons over a decade ago, and that didn't go well. He might have got the wood spoon then. So we'll get to see the real coaching style of Kevy Wallace. One thing that I'm really interested to see. The last time Anthony Milford, their big young player, played well was when Kevy had the reins looking after the halves in 15. Bennett was the coach, obviously, but Kevy ran those halves and they were brilliant. And when you think about it, they were 5 seconds away from winning the game and Milford would have got the Clive Churchill. So I'm hoping for his sake and then for the Broncos that Kevy's somehow able to pick the lock on Anthony Milford and really make him come to the fore.
I remember years ago, Billy, where we were playing the Broncos and they would publish the markets in the paper and we had 8.5 start. And I thought that was just lunacy. I thought, that's ridiculous. We don't need 8.5 start. Until you were out in the middle of that field and you look up and across from you, you're speaking about Aura, Darren Lockyer, Mick Hancock, Ben Eichen, Mick DeVere, Wendell Saylor, Kevy Walters, Shane Webke, Luke Pritis, Petro Sivanasiva, Gordon Tallis, Thorne Campion, Sean Berrigan, Lottie. There's about 3 or 4 Clive Churchill medalists in the team. It was an unbelievable team, wasn't it, back in those days?
Mm. Well, without a doubt, mate. And you're right, coming off the bench, there were some great players. Mm. And what was also happening is, you alluded before about the players that Queenslanders that now aren't in the Broncos system. Basically, everyone went to the Broncos. That was basically where you wanted to go. So there's going to be some interesting transition in the next couple of years if the Broncos can't turn this around. Because little brother down the road, and I don't want to pump up the tyres of the Titans too early, and I want to give Holbrook a chance to really get his feet under the desk, but they look good, they've recruited well, they've let go. It's almost also they've let go has been very beneficial for them as well. I like what I'm seeing down the road. You know, the Titans, if we go back to, you know, the early noughts when they had Prince and Co down there, and they were under Matty Rogers as well, mate, they'll pull in 20,000, 25,000. So they'll come out of the woodwork there as well. So if little brother can get a good run on them, they might be really able to give the Broncos a bit of a shake in the southeast Queensland derbies.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go, Billy, now to what we got you on here in the first place. Can you please give an update in your life, I suppose, to, you know, what's happened for you post-rugby league and quite the entrepreneur now, Billy Moore?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Thanks, Joel. So for me, I went down with the North Sydney Bears ship when she hit the rocks in the end of 99, went insolvent. I retired at 28, headed north to Queensland. I had an opportunity to play with a few clubs, but decided to stay a one-club man and got into the hospitality space. And since then, I've basically been in the restaurant and hotel game for Scary Boys 22 years.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I'm in my second restaurant now, a place in Mooloolaba. I always say the greatest thing I did in my life was Scream Queenslander. The second best thing I did, I bought Orgello's restaurant. I've got a half share of a going concern that's been there for 26 years. It's brilliant. It's a great place. Overlooks Mooloolaba Bay. A little bit of an editorial. We've won 3 World Pizza titles and 5 Australian pizza crowns. So it's modern Australian gourmet pizza and Italian with a bit of a twist, so to speak, in at home. So I give you an idea, this year it's running well. We'll do 100,000 customers.
Wow.
in 2021. So it sounds terrible, but COVID's been the best thing that could ever happen to my business, if you can believe that.
Well, that was my next question, because we spoke to you last year when we were doing Fox League Live when there was no games, and we were asking, you said, oh, I don't know how this is going to go. Obviously, people weren't going to restaurants, but are you saying that the take, like the online, was great for you?
Yeah, mate, look, when we last chatted, when COVID first hit, we had laid off 30-odd staff. I've got the staff around about 40, so 30 were gone instantly, and we had the permits and JobKeeper saved my ass and probably nearly every other business in Australia that fell in sort of the categories that we did in the hospitality space. And then we didn't trade for one day, and then we did 2 hours a day for about 8 weeks, and we just grew from there. And the locals here kept us alive, and then with obviously the borders up, the Queenslanders looked after Queensland in the hospitality tourism base, and we were able to grow from there. And what COVID did, it shone a microscope on where your business drew its customer base from, and with Mooloolaba specifically, everyone's got their nuances, but Mooloolaba drew its customers from locals, then the drive market of Gold Coast, Brisbane, and the agricultural base around the Darling Downs. So we had access to our customers, and they couldn't go anywhere else, so they came to us. So that was brilliant. And now as the borders ease, obviously the big money clients like you two blokes on a Mozza will be heading north to Queensland, and we'll be servicing your needs. So we're in a great space, boys, because Queensland, you guys, if you're when you can travel, you don't want to stay in the cold down there in New South Wales or in Melbourne. You want to come to Queensland. So we're going to get access to clients we wouldn't normally get because you normally go overseas. Like Fletch normally hangs around the Mediterranean on one of those big yachts, and you're in the Caribbean, Joel. So
oh, please.
You have to come to Mooloolaba.
Well, it did work for the Storm, Fletch.
Yeah,
up there.
True. Yeah. It wasn't a yacht, by the way. It was a super cruiser. Hey, now, let's talk about this, first of all. Yes, you're synonymous with the word Queenslander. That beautiful, well, it wasn't beautiful, it was tragic if you're a Blues supporter when you won 3-0. And can I ask you this, though? You were born in New South Wales. Not many of our listeners know this, but how do you feel guilty about taking all those trademark dollars from saying Queensland when, in fact, you were born in New South Wales across the border, Billy?
I didn't know that.
Tell the story, Bill.
That's a good question you asked, Fletch. And after seeking legal advice from William Less, my response to you on that is, yes, I was born in New South Wales. I'm sure Bill may or may not know the story, but I come from the most southern town in Queensland, a little place called Wallangarra, 300 people now. When I was born, there was no hospital in Wallangarra, so the nearest base hospital was 18 kilometres south, enemy territory. So I was born in Tenerife, but my mother assured me I didn't take a breath, so I was brought back across the border.
Yes.
So that's why that little twitch is there, Fletch. I didn't have that oxygen in the first half an hour. But, it's an interesting storyline. I played – my first rugby league club was the Wallangarra Bulls, 5 and 6. And then the meatworks shut down when my dad worked. And basically everything in the town, we went from a population of 800 to 300 in a blink. And a lot of pubs and clubs and sporting teams folded. So I then packed up my kit bag and they took me to the play for the mighty Tenerife Tigers. And I had a great time there. And all the lovely people in Tenerife, I wouldn't have been able to become what I've become without their blessing and help. But ask them all, they know one thing, I'm still a Queenslander.
Hey, Billy, what about expanding the business, like franchising? That seems to be the buzzword now. The people get one going, they flog it off. Have you ever thought about franchising maybe coming down to Sydney?
Well, the franchising, great question, mate. All I can say is this. When I initially started post-rugby league, I had a restaurant in Mooloolaba. I built one, my first one, and I bought a pub in Toowoomba. And what I learned from that experience is when you double your businesses, I can guarantee, like the sun comes up in the morning, you'll double your headaches.
Yeah.
But I can also guarantee you won't double your net bottom line profit. So for me, franchising, I've had opportunities to take on different sites for another one. Now that I'm touching 50, I realise, to me, I don't have the drive and enthusiasm for that. And my aim is to perfect the one I've got, make it as slick and as smooth and as profitable as I can, and allowing B-More to spend more time on the beach and less behind the till. That's my goal.
Well done.
The headache is a bit like having a wife and a girlfriend. You know, that can sometimes muck it up. I'm not saying no anyone here, but or you, Billy, but I'm just saying that's the sort of headache you've got to juggle.
Exactly, mate.
You don't know where to focus. Right. You know? Gibbo, that's a lesson for you, buddy.
You listening, Gibbo?
Yeah, mate. Thanks, boys.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Billy, before you go, I'd love you to settle an argument for both myself, my wife, and all the listeners here. Now, I do note that the crab lasagna is one of the hits there at your restaurant. You're an authority when it comes to Italian restaurants now, and therefore Italy. Is it lasagna or lasagna?
Lasagna, my friend. Lasagna.
Give him a tick there, Gibbo.
Have you ever heard, Billy, have you ever heard anyone call it lasagna?
No.
No.
There you go.
Do you say tacos or tacos?
Tacos.
Mm.
You're a taco man, eh?
I'm a taco man.
Yeah, and look, if you ever get the chance, come up to Mooloola Bar, our sand crab lasagna. I'll back it in a lasagna cook-off against anything that can come out of Sydney. And for you too, Blakes, please drop in and to all your wonderful customers, come into or Jello's on the Esplanade in Mooloola. I promise I won't cook. I've got 7 chefs. You get some good Queensland hospitality, and if you bag the Mighty Maroons, there's 10% surcharge.
and I do note the restaurant or Jello's, for people who don't know, if you Google it, it starts with A-U-G, so it's not O-U. Yes, that's right, A-U-G or Jello's. Hey, Billy Moore, we appreciate your time, legend.
Thanks, boys. Love your show. Keep up the good work. Go to the Queenslanders and can't wait for 2021 to start.